Happy September, everybody. What can I tell you? It's September already. My God, September 1st. Hey, everybody, welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. September 1st. I'm Larry Jacobs. I can't believe it's September 1st. Oh, my gosh, so much. Oh, what can I tell you? All right, well, July and August were great. And that, by the way, I hope everybody, the hurricane was a couple of days ago down in Louisiana and hit some other places too. I hope everybody's safe down there. Okay, getting better, and we'll just keep worrying about them, for goodness sakes. We have a wonderful show for you here today. Okay, then, of course, go to archive over at our website, which is ACE-ED.org. That's our consortium for equity, ACE-ED.org. We archive everything over there. Our magazine is over there. Please go over. You'll love it. Okay, the magazine is great, and everything we do for equity, again, ACE-ED.org. Today we're working with our good friends over at Urban Assembly, Brandon Frame, who is their director of social emotional learning, and we also have Josh Bobrow, Bobrow, I spelled that wrong, Bobrow, okay, who Josh is the deputy director of social emotional learning over at Urban Assembly, which is urbanassembly.org, and this is a whole show we're going to do on hiring for social emotional learning, and I want everybody to know that tomorrow we are working with them to have a Twitter chat, okay, starting at 3 p.m. Eastern, yet tomorrow, September 2nd, all right, 12 p.m. PT, it's hashtag hiring, the number 4, hiring for SEL with the number 4. Join in with us. We'd love to have you participate in that. You'll find out all about what we're going to be talking about today with Josh and Brandon. I'll start with Josh. Hi, Josh. It's Larry here.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having us.
My pleasure indeed, kind sir. Okay, and Brandon, you here too?
Yes, I am. Happy to be here. Thank you. It's an honor and a pleasure to spend this time with you and talk about SEL and hiring and all those good things.
Well, thank you so much, gentlemen. It's always great to have Urban Assembly here in whatever form Urban Assembly takes. Today it takes the form of Josh and Brandon. It's a pleasure to have you guys here. Hi to Dave and everybody over there, by the way. All right, hiring for social emotional learning. Brandon, you're director of social emotional learning over at Urban Assembly. When you hear the phrase hiring for social emotional learning, does that mean making sure that teachers have a social emotional pedagogy in their bag of tricks? What does that mean?
Absolutely. It's really thinking about how, as a teacher, you are going to activate social emotional learning skills through your pedagogy. So as you're teaching in your core subject areas, how are you activating students' social emotional learning skills so they can solve problems? And we have to really think about how we are asking questions in interviews so that we can see if teachers understand that concept and what that looks like, and make sure that they don't feel that social emotional learning is something else that they have to do, but something that is intertwined with how they teach and how students learn.
Yeah, it's so darn important. And it's difficult, Brandon, because most teachers do not have training in SEL, and I know you guys do provide some of that training on there, you know, but it's a difficult thing, and I've been saying this for months now. We have to get the colleges of education to have SEL 101, SEL 102, et cetera, 202, to make sure that every teacher understands this, because every school district has SEL as top of mind this year. Okay, coming off the pandemic and everything else, we just have to make this happen. And Josh, the Urban Assembly, urbanassembly.org, does training in SEL for educators. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes, we do. So we do all sorts of professional development.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, our central training is around the Resilient Scholars Program, which really takes folks through the implementation of high-quality SEL. But what we also do is we offer professional development that intertwines, as Brandon said before, SEL with other topics, whether it's instruction, trauma-informed practices, counseling. Because what we're finding is that you know, a lot of educators and a lot of schools are already doing a lot of this work. We just want to name it, and we want to amplify what's developing these social-emotional skills in our young people. So it's really about organizing it and just ensuring that we're elevating and connecting the dots alongside schools and districts.
That's well said, my friend. Back to you, Brandon. Okay, talk to me about this SEL, okay, the pedagogical philosophy. All learning is social-emotional, okay? Yet we are constantly separating out social-emotional, I'll call it social-emotional education, okay, from other education. And the question, should we be doing that? Is it parcel of, et cetera? Mr. Frame.
Absolutely not. I think part of the reason why it gets separated is because people, when they hear social and emotional, they start going to school social workers and school counselors. But when that happens, that's how the work gets siloed, right? Because it's not just that work of empathy and building relationships and talking about how you feel, but it's also bringing that into the classroom. One of our professional developments, we constantly talk about Vygotsky and his theory of the zone of approximal development, right? And there's what we know and what we don't know, right? And in the middle of that space, that's the zone of approximal development. But what we call that in classrooms is learning, right? Every student is walking into some classroom this year where this is what we know and what we don't know. And then in that process of that is learning. But what we do know is that learning can be frustrating, right? Learning can cause you to zone out. It can cause you to just quit and say, I don't want to do this, right? And so that's why we have to bring this into the fold in terms of social-emotional learning into our pedagogy, because it is incumbent upon educators to help students navigate that zone of approximal development through activating social emotional learning skills so they can solve the problems of what the teacher is trying to teach or learn the new information. But even more so, what we're helping students see and understand by activating the social emotional learning skills is that this is how you solve problems in life. And that's what we really want them to walk away with, because at some point they're going to leave our school buildings and have to go out into the complex world and be able to navigate it.
You're darn right. And how did you get so interested in social emotional learning, Brandon? I'll ask you first. You're good at this.
I was doing it. I didn't know that I was doing social emotional learning, say, 4 or 5 years ago. And then also from there, David Adams kind of recruited me because he thought I was doing, but I wouldn't say I called it that. And then I got introduced to the theory behind social emotional learning. I said, oh, wow. And then really started to dig into that research. I'm also a doctoral student at Boston University. So through David Adams' mentorship and reading and spending time with Josh, I got really engrossed into this and how important it is, because if we can, what I came to understand and see and know, and now I have to be an SEL evangelist, schools need to be organized around social emotional learning and academic development. We know our schools are centered around academic development, but what we must do is center it around social-emotional learning and academic development. And when we do that, that is when we are making amazing human beings ready to take on the world.
Good man. I'll call you Dr. Frame. How close are you to your doctorate?
I got like 2 years. 2 years.
2 years to go? Or you got 2 years in?
Yeah, 2 years to go.
Okay, you know, the University of Larry, my college, offers a doctorate in less than 15 minutes, just so you know that.
Hey,
can we get that while we have this conversation?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. The way it works, you go down to your town hall and change your first name to Doctor.
All right.
That way you become Dr. Frame. It's very simple, and it only costs you
$500.
It's a simple thing. And by the way, that'll teach you to hang out with Josh, all that stuff you just said. You started hanging out with Josh. Josh, what got you so interested in SEL?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I started off as a teacher, so I taught history for close to a decade between 7th and 12th grade. You know, I started, you know, an elective around mindfulness and positive psychology.
Wow.
You know, a lot of that rooted.
Where?
That was at Uncommon Schools. It's a charter network in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And before that, I was working for the Department of Ed in New York City in the South Bronx as a history teacher. And I'm also a yoga instructor, a trauma-informed yoga instructor. So all of these pieces were feeling, you know, a little bit separate. And, you know, once again, through the support of David Adams, just really understanding how the umbrella for all of this work is social-emotional learning. And so, you know, starting to really see, for instance, mindfulness, self-awareness, social awareness, all of this as fitting under the larger umbrella of social-emotional learning, and really beginning to work to break down the skills that were going to provide me and, you know, my students with the long-term success that, you know, harnessing these transferable skills enables. So that was sort of my trajectory.
Hey, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you guys are both saying the same thing, and I believe it as well. School is to create working adults, actual functioning adults, all right, that can get into the workforce, be secure in what they do, good citizens that are literate. That's the three basic prongs of the triangle there, all right? And SEL is so important for that. Okay, it's just key to what we're doing. And by the way, you keep mentioning Dave Adams, both of you. My good friend Dave Adams is executive director of the Urban Assembly. Again, urbanassembly.org, a great guy. By the way, I was just on the phone with him a week or so ago, a couple of days ago, actually. We talked about something new that we're planning here. Okay, hiring for social-emotional learning. Brandon, okay, what questions need to be asked by an administrator as he's hiring an educator and wants to be sure they understand about social-emotional learning?
This is a great question, and this stems from our article. And, you know, one of the first questions that you have to ask.
By the way, I forgot to mention that. Thank you. We got your article's in the next issue, right? So, or is it this issue? I'm mixed up now.
Yes.
It's coming out online now, and it'll be
in the next issue. That's my understanding.
I should have known that, but I got mixed up in my head because I've seen it a couple of times, and I don't know where I've seen it. That's at our magazine, which is Equity and Access Pre-K-12 at ace-ed.org. Pardon me for not remembering exactly where it is. Go ahead.
No problem. So we have lots of questions. I'll share some of them, and I'll let Josh share a few as well. First, I just want to give a shout-out to Josh for collaborating on this, and we have to give a shout-out to...
No, that'll go to his head. Take that back. That'll just go to his head.
And we have to give a shout-out to Jelani Hernandez, who's the principal at the Urban Assembly School for Bronx School for Law, Government, and Justice, because this stemmed from an email from her. She sent an email to us at the central office and said, hey, you know, I am going to be interviewing candidates, and we are looking, what questions should I be asking around SEL? And I said, Josh, this is an article. We need to put this out there. Principals need this, because we just got this question, and you know what? If she's asking, that means a bunch of other principals are asking too. So just a few questions from the article that I think people should definitely consider, especially if you're a school leader or even at a nonprofit and you're looking to hire and you want people to have the social-emotional thinking and skills. So one is, how does your pedagogical philosophy relate to our school's belief that all learning is social and emotional? Another question would be, how do you consistently model social and emotional skills in and out of the classroom? Provide examples in both instructional and non-instructional spaces. And one more that I'll read is, how do you center relationships with your student in the classroom? Provide examples. I mean, those three questions, I mean, those are telling. You know, responses will be telling if this educator truly has a love and a feel for social-emotional learning and is planning to bring that into the school building and into their classroom.
And let me ask this, okay? Should a prospective employee, a prospective educator in this case, okay, this is an interesting question, I think. Be told that these questions are going to be asked, okay? Because sometimes people go into an interview and they're thinking, I'm going to teach history, all right? But intrinsically, we want them to understand the importance of SEL. So should we prepare them for those questions, or should we hit them, if I may, blindside? And really, it's part and parcel of what we need to know. But how do we approach that? And Josh, you want to do that one, or Brandon?
Sure, I have some ideas. You know, it just makes me think about, like, so what's the goal? If the goal is to also gauge, you know, someone you're hiring's preparation and an ability to consolidate information and consolidate sort of their professional trajectory in addition to how they view social emotional learning and pedagogy, then I say give them the questions ahead of time. If the goal is to really see, like, okay, they may not expect this question, let's see if they have already thought about this. If they've already started integrating these concepts, then you know, as you said, maybe, you know, not preparing them, blindsiding them maybe, and seeing how they think on their feet and what preparation they've already done around integration of these concepts, not necessarily preparation in general as a future employee.
Yeah. What do you think, Brandon?
Absolutely, I'm right in the fold there. I think I think that you can share questions ahead of time, all the questions. But honestly, for the most part, if you're interviewing for a history position, I already know you can teach history. You know,
yeah, that's right.
If you're interviewing for math, I already know you're teaching. You can teach math.
No,
I need to know.
You already know history. They may not be able to teach.
Yeah, I need to know. Do you know? Can you make that connection in the social emotional realm? Because I know that that's what's actually going to aid you in making sure that students are excited about learning history and are going to be able to navigate that zone of proximal development because you understand the social emotional theory around why it's important to build connections with your students and how you're going to activate social and emotional learning skills. So, I mean, I think you can do that. One of my mentors where I worked at before the Urban Assembly, he would say when he would do interviews, shout out to Dr. Terrell Hill, he would bring people in for interviews, and he would ask them this one question that, you know, you could say is similar to this social emotional question, and he would say, can you get your heartbeat to beat at the same pace as mine? Huh. Right? And if people couldn't answer that question, it was almost like, you can't really work here because I need you to be in line with that vision. And if your vision, and I use that example because if the vision is social emotional learning, I need those responses to be in line with my thinking because that's how my heart beats. And I need my teacher's heartbeat to beat at the same pace as mine if we're going to move our school and our students forward.
Good answers from both of you. And I have to ask this, okay? We're the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org, as I've mentioned a couple of times. Social-emotional learning and equity. Okay, put those two together. I'll give you a break, Brandon. Let's go back to Josh. And by the way, Josh, is your last name Bobro or Bobrow? It's driving me crazy.
The first way you said it, Bobro.
Bobro, thank you. Okay. Josh Bobro, everybody, Deputy Director of Social Emotional Learning. There you go. I just wanted to be sure I was reading this correctly here. Okay, go ahead. Answer that, please.
Sure. You know, so like appreciation for diversity, the ability to collaborate, right? These hit at the heart of us achieving a more equitable classroom, education system, and country, right? Those are just some elements of, you know, bringing more equity to all of these spaces. And so we need to develop these skills and these mindsets just like we would our content, right? And we can't enable more equity in education in silos either. So we have to collaborate. We have to communicate. We have to build relationships. This is all SEL. So, you know, a lot of times around SEL, we talk about the kids, but there's really an adult layer that we have to focus on as well, right? Because all of the social emotional skills are really interwoven with what it's going to take to build more equity in education. And that has to happen at the adult layer as well, just as we support students to develop these skills, you know, in our schools. So they really go hand in hand. in my mind.
I believe they do. Your thoughts on that, Brandon, if you want?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Josh is the guy, you know, and you know what he says is
this is going to go to his head. You know,
what he says, you know, I'm like, yeah. there goes that guy. He's talking that talk again, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the talk.
I learned from the
hear,
best, Brandon.
So. Yeah. Bravo. Okay, that's funny. You know, it is the same, and you know. There's another factor here, and a lot of the kids were taught. I know you guys, you work, as you mentioned, you work in the Bronx and all that. There is a difference in socioeconomic needs, all right? And kids in a very wealthy school district will get far more support, okay, social, emotionally, if I may, and have less trauma to bring to the table usually, okay, than kids who are in poverty, all right, as an example, all right? And mm-hmm. we have to be sure, that's an equity question. Because in the end, it's not just teaching them that the War of 1812 happened in 1814, okay? It's not just teaching them that, okay? It's teaching them the skills they use that for to go, et cetera. And we have to even that out. That's the equity question, okay? And actually, I'll ask that question. Is SEL, this is an interesting question, more important, okay, in an area of lower socioeconomic needs, okay, that sort of thing, or do you find that right across the board it's equally important? I'm curious about that. I never asked that question before. We'll start with Brandon this time. Go for it, Brandon.
Yeah, I think that social-emotional learning does create and assist with equity and providing students of a lower socioeconomic status, possibility to move through. What's our definition of urban assembly? Increase social and economic mobility, right?
There you go. Yeah.
So I think that it is helpful there. But what's important though is that social emotional learning must come through a culturally responsive lens, because when you talk about the process which students and adults develop the skills, attitudes, and values, you must take into account different cultures and ethnicities and what attitudes, skills, and values look like, because not every community sees that the same way, right? And so by doing that, then you look at that community as a strength. And you look at what their outcomes and what they're looking for as how are we meeting the needs of the community. One thing that we say at the Urban Assembly is how are we preparing students to be college, career, and community ready. And when you throw that word community in there, it should develop social emotional learning skills. That looks different. And so I think that's what's important around making sure we see the students as strengths and the communities in which they come from as strengths. It shouldn't be you develop these skills so that you can move to a particular suburban community and have a home, but like you get to develop these skills and also bring them back into the community in which you live in and even increase and raise up your community. So I think it's really important that we look at it and it's brought into the fold from a culturally sustaining approach, so that we look at students as strengths and where they come from, and their attitudes, skills, and values, and recognize what means the most to them in that community, and prepare them for community. And then even simultaneously, by doing that we do that in all communities, because ultimately we all have to live and work together. So when we think about social awareness, and then we start digging into the indicators that make up social awareness, and having respect and human dignity, understanding differences, that allows for us to all live and harmony together, more so because you might have this belief or way of thinking, and I have this way and this way of thinking, but we also understand that and still can work together to solve problems.
Culturally responsive, SEL, to the needs of the community. Recognize mm-hmm. the community you're in. Teach SELs, the social emotional skills, according to those needs. And we're going to be far better. That was an excellent answer, I got to tell you. I want to ask you this. Now, I know you guys work with high schools and school districts, if I may. But, again, everybody, urbanassembly.org. But what I have to ask, is anybody working, and this is, I guess it goes back to what I asked earlier, most teachers aren't trained in SEL until they get professional development, okay, from whatever school district they're working at, which I think is a terrible mistake in this day and age and has been for a number of years. It came to the forefront with the pandemic. Is anybody, I'll ask this, Josh, Mr. Bobrow, okay, do you know of any school district, of any teacher education programs that have SEL course, how the pedagogy of SEL built into the program?
So I believe, Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that Hunter and Hunter. Fordham are both doing some work around this. So those are two schools to look into that are trying to be, more intentional about social-emotional learning and developing the skills, in the pipeline of our educators.
Teach it. Yeah, to teach it. Yep. Brandon, do you know of anything about that?
Yeah, people are thinking about it. Unfortunately,
yeah.
Our schools of education are still just focused on academics, and not thinking about true social-emotional development. So at scale, it is not happening. I do think that, Fordham is taking some strides. We worked more specifically with their School of Social Work. Not sure exactly what the School of Education may be doing, but the School of Social Work is thinking about how you provide social workers with macro skills to allow for the systems and structures to take place within a school so that social-emotional learning permeates the entire building and is systemic. So I want to shout out Fordham. Hunter is also making that. Rutgers University. Has a social-emotional character lab headed up by Maurice Elias. So they're definitely leading a lot of work and a lot of research is coming out of there around the work of social-emotional learning in schools.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely need a bigger push, bigger initiatives and funding from our colleges and universities to really prepare teachers to walk into the classroom and do social-emotional learning and academic development.
Yeah, my standing joke would be like if a medical school was graduating doctors and didn't teach them how to use a stethoscope. Okay, that's not going to work real well, but all said and done. Okay?
One analogy I like to use, I like that one, and I'm going to give you this one, you're more than welcome to use it, it's like driving, right? And so when you're driving on the road, there are stop signs, there are yellow lights and green lights and the white and yellow lines. Those are all supports, to create the conditions for driving, right? But you still got to learn how to drive.
That is an excellent analogy.
And so our schools need to teach people what social-emotional learning is. Because all these conditions and supports in schools to help you teach and do these things, but hey, we have to actually teach social emotional learning skills so that then they can be reinforced, and then the supports that are around us can help elevate the social emotional development.
Yeah, and I
if
hope
I, if I could
more,
build on Brandon,
oh, please.
Yeah,
Josh,
I was just
going to
say because I love that analogy that Brandon just shared, and the first.
Oh wait,
concrete.
You don't like my analogy? You like his analogy better than my analogy?
I love your analogy too, Larry.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
But he is my director, so.
Okay, in that case, I understand. Actually, Brandon, he likes my analogy better than your analogy, but he can't say that. So we'll just move forward.
No comment.
Yeah.
But I was just going to say, how many schools and classrooms have a turn and talk, built into the content, But what we need to do is, continue to include turn and talks, but also teach the skills around actively listening. So the turn and talk is not just, a vehicle for the content, but it's also harnessing the social emotional skills that are going to enable the communication to more deeply absorb the content. And I think that relates to what Brandon was talking about in terms of, teach the skill of driving. So teach the skill of actively listening. And then, then it's more easy to go into the turn and talk and see the different signposts all around you and to absorb the content through the active listening skills.
Right. It's great. What are you guys going to be on the Twitter chat tomorrow?
Yes, we will.
Okay. Let me get that information again for everybody here. Hold on one second. We at ace-ed.org are doing the Twitter chat. with the Urban Assembly on this very topic. The hashtag is hiring for SEL with the four as a number. And it's tomorrow, Thursday, September 2nd, okay, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. And Brandon and Josh will be there. I believe Maya from my company will be there. And it's going to be just a lovely thing. I hope everybody participates. Guys, we got to go, but I can't thank you enough. This was fun. I hope you enjoyed yourselves.
Had a blast.
I did. Yeah, thank you so much, Larry.
I did too. Welcome, guys. Have fun tomorrow. Keep up the good work, all right? And I'll talk to you again soon. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Bye. Okay, everybody. UrbanAssembly.org. And tomorrow, the Twitter chat, hashtag hiring for SEL, the number four. Josh Bobrow, I did it again. Josh Bobrow. Sorry, Josh. Okay. What can I tell you? Okay. And Brandon Frame, UrbanAssembly.org, the SEL guys over there. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Happy September, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs.